Hello, and welcome to Live Vedanta, a podcast where we explore simple living and high thinking. Each week, we join Vivek Gupta as he offers insights on bringing the divine into the daily. Over the last decade, Vivekji has shared his observations on the science of independent joy with communities across North America and beyond.
How do we direct the wandering mind? Is there a singular technique to do this? What if it doesn't work? In this next episode of the Meditation and Life series, Vivekji identifies common problems we encounter during meditation and teaches us how to face them. Let's tune in.
Greetings from London. Jnanam upadyate pumsa. Kshaya papasya karmanaha. In English, what this means, when knowledge arises in one's personality, all of their negative actions and results are all burnt away, are all dropped. This is a teaching from the Mahabharata. How this relates to us. Our nature is beyond the mind, is beyond the intellect, and is beyond the ego. The ego is the one that's caught up in noble actions and ignoble actions, the results and the fruit. Now, the way to go past the mind and the intellect and the ego is to have faith that there is more to who you are than the mind, intellect, ego. And this faith is not the product of more reading, is not the product of more intellectual engagement. This faith comes through reflection. This faith comes through contemplation. If one is not practicing contemplation, one will never experience independent joy. One will never experience meditation. Our course is a catalyst to practice contemplation, not to theorize and find more details about contemplation. Last week, we focused on chapter 24, a review of procedure. And I gave you the fifth S. The first S in preparation is space. Second S, seat. Third S, sanctum. Fourth S, senses. And fifth S is self. The immediate self that you feel, that's body, breath, mind, should be clean, simple, inspiring. These clothes, your body should be clean. That means you don't roll out of bed and then sit on the ground in a cross-legged position. You will just sleep. Wash your face, brush your teeth, shower. Simple means try to contemplate in the same place at the same time every day. That simplicity will help the mind to know now it's time for contemplation. That happens with 12 o'clock, correct? 12 p.m. is lunch, even though you just ate at 11:30. The need for coffee, right? You drive by a coffee place, you don't need coffee, but we feel it's morning, it's coffee time. Do the same with contemplation. Inspiring, when you engage in contemplation, to be fresh, to be ready, to be enthusiastic for this. Many times when it comes to sadhana, when it comes to practices, it's a burden to us. the way we feel with dishes, finally done. Finally, contemplation is over. Finally, exercise and chanting is over. So dishes and contemplation are the same. Space, clean, simple, inspiring. Your seat should be steady. Sanctum, clean, simple, inspiring. Senses, disengaged. Self, clean, simple, inspiring. That's the preparation for contemplation. The process technically is Pancha Kosha Viveka. You don't engage the body, you relax the body. You don't engage the breath, you enjoy the breath. You don't engage the mind, you chant with the mind. You don't engage the intellect, you inquire with the intellect. You don't engage the ego, you observe the ego. When one starts to follow the process of contemplation, you will begin to understand and appreciate neti. Neti means everything that we're experiencing is highly relative, play-like, dreamlike. And when all of this loses its grip on us, and when I say all of this, I mean everything outside, everything we think we are, iti becomes more apparent. Existence, awareness, joy, God, life, that becomes our reality. My personal experience with this is I've been living like this for 12 years full time. And now the idea of neti and iti has become clear for me. 12 years of engaging in this full time. The purification, the preparation, the process. And I only share that as a reference for you. That if you're not practicing contemplation, neti and iti is a joke. And how should you practice contemplation? Full time. One's entire life has to be dedicated towards contemplation for this idea to not be a bookish idea, but for you to feel this. In the book, The Tao of Pooh, Pooh describes scholars as ants who are so busy during a picnic that they forget to enjoy the picnic. And how I'm comparing that to last week's class is some of us are ants with our Shastra Vasana that we want to keep reading and reading and reading and more satsang and more satsang and more satsang. We're like ants that are picking up crumbs instead of realizing life, instead of focusing on what's important. So are you a bear or an ant? Are you Winnie? The 25th chapter is entitled Hints for Taming the Mind. Hints for Taming the Mind. What part of the mind or us is not tame? Do you remember the framework I gave you? There's the contemplator, the contemplated, contemplation. Three C's, yes? Then there is the purpose, the problems, and the proceeds. This chapter is focused on the problems that arise when you practice contemplation. And if problems are not arising, it's because you're either enlightened or you're not practicing. So you can decide for yourself which of the two you are. If you are practicing contemplation, the primary problems that will arise is avarna or drowsiness. Here in London, I led everyone through 10 minutes of guided imagery to a beach, and it was a snore fest. Now imagine that's so active and natural when you have to let go of even the ego, obviously we're going to be drowsy if we're not pure and prepared. And if avarna is not getting you, what will? Vikshepa, or distraction. I'm sitting for contemplation and I'm thinking about something I broke at home and how it's not going to come back. Or thinking about a meeting that you have tomorrow. Distraction. When we underappreciate the problems that will come with contemplation, we become dejected. By show of hands, over the last 45 classes, a year and a half, how many of you have become mildly or moderately dejected with your practices? Yeah. It's because of me, isn't it? It's because of the Upanishad, isn't it? I must tell you, and I've already told you this in the Advanced Vedanta course, in the Bhagavad Gita course, and I'm sharing it again. 5 years I've been telling all of you. In chapter 6, verse 24 of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna tells Prince Arjuna, if you want to be a contemplator, you must have two specific virtues related to contemplation. What are those virtues? The first one starts with an N in Sanskrit. Nishchaya. You have to be determined. Got it? And number two is anirvinna, which means you have to be inspired. Anirvinna chetasa means non-dejected, but I don't like to think of virtues in the non. Don't do this, or non-stealing. We should assert it to the positive. So determination and inspiration. For a moment now, I want all of you to remember the period of your life when you felt the most spiritually sound, the most advanced in your evolution. Reflect on it and feel it. And whatever that practice or moment was, and I hope it that moment is right now, that should be your default. If you want to live up to these virtues of determination and inspiration, your default shouldn't be your low point. Your default should be your high point. If you put your hand up for you're more dejected, you're orienting yourself to sadhana and contemplation wrongly. You're looking at this from a worldly perspective. Your default has to be your high point. I was sharing with Sheila recently that I'm in my high point. Every silence retreat, every contemplation retreat, every yatra just becomes higher and higher and higher. And the more that becomes your default, the more you know you won't come down. The more you will let go of the neti and hold on to the iti. This chapter goes on to focus on prati ahara. In the Yoga Sutras, what is that called? Pratyahara. Show me ahara. See, we always think of food as food as ahara. You know, that which you bring to yourself. Prati ahara or pratyahara means to retreat. The idea is that the extrovert mind, the extrovert intellect, the extrovert ego, what does it have to do? It has to retreat. The mind has to chant. The intellect has to inquire. The ego has to be observed. Pratyahara is the way to tame the mind. You have to keep on bringing it back. Now your question is, how many times? See the worldliness in the question. You can ask, how many times do I have to pay interest on my mortgage? There's an end to that, I hope. How many times do I have to write my driving test? How many times do you have to bring the mind back? Depends on your mind. Pratyahara cannot be practiced only in the contemplation setting. One's whole lifestyle has to be like that. Swami Chinmayananda gives various methods or techniques on how to bring the mind back. I'm going to summarize these for you. In the chapter, he gives 9 hints. I'm going to summarize this for you into 5. His 1 and 2 is immerse. Whatever you're experiencing, immerse the mind in what you're experiencing so it can't be distracted. Yes? If your phone is on you beside you and WhatsApp is open, you're not immersed in this right now, correct? On our yatra, some people never had Wi-Fi, so they immerse themselves more in that yatra, isn't it? And he gives the logic. In Sanatana Dharma, when you go to a mandir, there's so much of fragrances and lights and colors and sounds to draw you to that experience, correct? Immerse. His points, 3 and 4, is to input. If you're practicing contemplation and your mind is drowsy, what should you do? Open your eyes. With your eyes closed, you're going to sleep. So what should you do? Open your eyes. If your intellect is going to sleep, what should you do? Hear. You should hear the greatness of people who have successfully contemplated. Hearing means reading the autobiographies of Swami Vivekananda, Mahatma Gandhi. Input. If you don't input, every time you sit for contemplation, you will be sleepy or distracted, and this will become so frustrating that you just won't sit anymore, correct? Gurudev's points 5 and 6 is educate. Educate the mind, intellect, ego about the utility of contemplating. All of us have plenty of comforts in our lives. I stay in your homes. I know you have plenty of comforts. We have plenty of letters beside our names. I know that too because you send me wedding invitations. Title name is marrying title name. Just the titles are marrying each other. Why even put your name down there? So we have plenty of that, but what we don't have plenty of is the long-term vision that the only way we will be independently joyous is to know that we're not the ego. Keep on educating the mind and intellect of the utility of contemplation. This is a long-term practice. Swami Chinmayananda's point 7 and 8 is to can't read my own writing. It is to punish. It is to punish the mind. And this essentially means, and sorry, I'm going to change the word to negotiate. Okay, negotiate. Negotiate with the mind that when it's riled up during contemplation, tell the mind, right now is contemplation time, but as soon as we're done, you can do whatever you want. Yes? You do that with kids, right? Just let me change your diaper. This is how I negotiate with Vyasa. Just please don't kick me. Let me change your diaper, then you can go do whatever you want. Negotiate with the mind. And sometimes the negotiation is positive, sometimes it's negative. If your mind is still not cooperating, don't feed it. Fast. Fast from WhatsApp. Fast from food. Fast from salt. Negotiate with the mind that if you do this, you can have this. If you don't do this, you can't have this. And there's a lot of writing about that. Be careful not to negotiate with the mind and then not to exact that punishment. That's such a sadistic way to live, no? Mind, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And then you forgive the mind. It owns you then, right? It's like two parents who don't agree with how to raise a kid. That kid owns those parents. That kid is raising the parents, not the other way around. Negotiate. And finally, point number 9 is observe. And this is a lovely way quieting the mind. What should you do? Just watch it. I was telling one of the Devis here, she wants her husband to exercise more. So I told her, you should exercise more. You should look good. And then just stare at your husband. And he will naturally feel not so good about himself and he'll follow you to the gym. Just observe the mind with the intellect and the mind will eventually become quiet. What I do with Vyasa is I just stare at him. And he becomes really smiley and then not so smiley. And then he goes, appa, appa. And it works for half a second. And this comes to these 9 points from Swami Chinmayananda or the 5 that I shared with you. How many times do you have to bring the mind back? Punaf, punaha. You have to work hard. That's called dharana. Dharana is with a lot of effort, like the effort of Niagara Falls. How much water falls over the actual brink is incredible. That's the kind of effort that needs to be put in to contemplate, to quieten the mind. But it's not just about working hard, it's also about working smart. And these kinds of courses and these kinds of classes, they start to address who's the contemplator, what are the problems. Otherwise, if you're contemplating without the scripture, you will never reach God. I promise you that. You have infinity, which manifests as God, which manifests as scripture, which manifests as guide. If your guide is not using the scripture, where will you be? You will just be with the guide, but you'll never be led through the scripture to God, to infinity. There's many Guru Shishya Paramparas that are separate from the scripture. They're just freelance independents. All they can be is successful in the world, but they will never take you beyond the world. So work hard, work smart. If you're really tuned into these further chapters in this part of the book, no more details about contemplation are given. Why do you think that is? Because contemplation is that simple. Relax, enjoy, chant, inquire, observe, and just be. There are no more details. There is no more process. If you're practicing, this will become your experience. If you're not practicing, then you need a million other details. Yes? So even these further chapters are simply a review. What do you think part 4 of the book is going to be? It's going to take us back to more review. Bhagavad Gita really ends in chapter 2. No? The teachings of who is enlightened, then how come chapters 3 through 18? Because we want to know more, isn't it? We want to know this and we want to memorize this shloka. But this is how an enlightened person is. Really, all of Bhagavad Gita ends in chapter 2, shloka 55. The wise do not grieve. For the living nor the dead, not grieving, really means they are independently joyous.
If you enjoyed what you heard or want to learn more, share this episode with a friend or find us online at facebook.com/CM Niagara. For those on the journey of self-development, Chinmaya Mission Niagara provides a community forum for seekers to listen, reflect, and contemplate. This podcast is produced by the Young Adults of Chinmay Mission, an international nonprofit working to transform individuals through the knowledge of Vedanta. Until next time, inspire, love, be.